FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 10-20-2020. Well, in any event, election right around the corner. We don't usually talk politics here. We're really an economic show, mainly because we're a family publication and we're really not into the obscenities taking place. But with markets, with gold, silver, etc., the stock markets, you know that the election is having an undue, untoward effect. So it's time to do a little bit of talking about it. We'll keep it to a minimum, I promise. In the meantime, I want to know your opinion. Who is going to win, Trump or Biden? And what about the latest revelations? Let us know. Email address kl@kerrylutz.com. Without further ado, we've got Dr. Steve Turley with us, one of my favorite YouTubers. I watch you, Dr. Turley, twice a day, more if you do more. So hint, hint. And I know you got like a real job and you have to like do stuff, but you are the most entertaining, uplifting YouTuber around. And it's great to have you back on. You find him at Turley Talks, T-U-R-L-E-Y talks.com, and on YouTube. And Dr. Steve, it's been quite a week, hasn't it?
It certainly has, Gary. Great to be back with you.
Hey, so we got this Biden thing here, and it looks to me like my only regret is I didn't know he was for sale so readily, because I would have just gone on to PayPal, sent him $100,000 and asked him for a favor that was worth tens of millions or billions. So I'm just upset that I wasn't in on the party.
Yeah. I think we all are, right? Yeah, Steve Bannon said just the other day, I mean, he does have access to the hard drive. He's been at the center. He was recruited, actually, to create a bit of the communicative architecture that would start, not so much, revealing. I was going to say leaking, but I think right now we're dealing with Niagara Falls. We're not dealing with a leak anymore. And he sees this going way beyond just Fox News reporting on it. There's no way the media is going to be able to keep this blacked out. And he said there's going to be more to come. We've only seen about 5%. It's just going to keep coming and coming and coming. And we're talking now money laundering. We're talking Biden himself being at the heart of this, getting 10% kickbacks. So this is no longer just Biden using his office for personal gain from the vantage point of family members. Now this is Biden using his status, his political status for his own financial gain. And and with just literally 14 days before the election, I mean, this is an October surprise. This is an October nuke. And now he's literally in a bunker right now. I mean, the metaphor works in so many ways. So it's pretty stunning stuff.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I just had a vitamin B12C infusion, and I'm pretty sharp as it is. I didn't really need it for my cognitive capabilities. But I got to tell you, if he's getting these, then I understand why he looks a little fresh at the debates. One story I want to recount to you. I had an advertising professor in college, and he was mixed up with a big ad agency, and they're all political. And he recounted a story that they once needed to get a law passed, and he had to go to the White House, to the vice president's office, with a suitcase with $500,000 in cash. But that wasn't the hard part, and I believe he wouldn't say who it was, but he put on a Southern drawl, so it sure sounded like LBJ. He said, when he talked to him, he said, "I want $500,000, and I want a 6-foot-tall blonde." And he said, in those days, in the early 60s, it was very difficult to find a 6-foot-tall blonde in Washington, D.C. That was the really hard part. The cash, nothing to it.
Well, nothing to it.
Yeah, with Biden, though, this Biden guy, I mean, the corruption is, I mean, we're used to corruption here, Steve, right? I mean, everything in the political system is corrupt.
Right.
But with trading with the enemies, I mean, look, during Obama and during Bush, hey, if you bought Cuban cigars, you were considered to be trading with the enemy. This guy is going into joint ventures with the enemy. He's literally become a publicly traded entity, Biden. Isn't this shocking?
Yeah, I love how you put it. He's a publicly traded entity. I love it. Yeah. And it got a huge boost the other day from the director of national security, Ratcliffe, or national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, who said, he really just blew apart the whole notion that this was just Russian disinformation. I think everyone's getting really tired of that, and they're seeing through that. You would think they'd come up with something new and exciting. Maybe this is some of, Trump's old Jersey boys coming back to, take out the competition or something. Instead, they go back to Russia, and everyone's like, look, that first turned out to be a bust. Why would we go? It's like talking about WMDs in Iraq again or something. It has no plausibility to it. So this is just helping Trump, because everywhere he goes is two, is three rallies a day. He's talking about what he calls the laptop from hell. and it's forcing the media to have to talk about it. Now they're trying to discredit it every chance they get. But I think a lot of people, like you just said, a lot of people, we all have a very healthy cynicism towards our politicians. We know they're crooks. We know they do all kinds of illicit things, and we'll allow them to, as long as it's within reason, as it were, if it doesn't affect the price of hot dogs. And so, I mean, this is crazy, the stuff that he's being accused of right now by Hunter Biden's own emails is beyond anything I think we've ever seen. This makes Watergate look like, a high school prank.
Hey, the system works it's based on a certain level of corruption. All right. Whether you're getting a zoning variance or you're getting a piece of property rezoned, you get a certain attorney, they're fixed, and it's what you call legal graft. And that's the way the system works, whether you like it or not. And as long as the parasite doesn't try to overwhelm its host, it's tolerated, put it that way. Right. And every now and then there's a cleanup. But here we've got corruption of China scale proportions. This guy, didn't he take money from? That's what I want to know. I don't care who took it from. Who hasn't he taken money from?
That's the question. The question is
why?
Who is he dealing with? Who's he not getting 10% kickback from? And then we just got yesterday, I think it was, the photo of Hunter Biden's signature on the paperwork for the computer repair shop.
Yeah.
And it was indeed his signature. He was the one who dropped it off. So there's no escape in this thing, and they're just doing everything they can. That's the first story, the level of corruption in the government. And then, of course, the second story is the level of corruption in the mainstream media. And we're seeing how they're two peas in the same pod. They're both part of the swamp. The media is just a telecommunicative, expression of the swamp. And so what we're seeing here is we're seeing a clear partisanization of knowledge, a partisanization of information, where if it's information that's damaging to the Democrats, we by definition have to hide it. You're not allowed to know it. But if it's information damaging to Republicans, and everybody gets to find out about it, and we're going to celebrate and talk about it, and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, we're seeing this politicalization of knowledge that's very, very horrifying in terms of its threat to democracy, because democracy requires us, everyone of just different persuasions, religious persuasions, political persuasions, to be able to get along. The assumption, it's known as the communication model of governance. The assumption here is that you and I may be of, say, different races or ethnicities or cultures or religions or whatever, but in the end, we can arrive at common conclusions regarding the problems of our society and how to solve them and the like. And then what we do is we go to the ballot box to work out those differences, and then we move forward. Right. But when you say that one side, say your side, is not allowed, your side is going to be continuously disparaged as evil and as phobic and as racist and as ignorant and threats to democracy and all that sort of stuff, and then my side is going to be constantly lauded as the paragon of virtue, we've broken down the communication model of governance. We can't communicate anymore because half the country, in effect, has been excommunicated. So it's ironic that the media likes to say that Trump is the biggest threat to democracy when it turns out it's actually the mainstream media that is demonstrably the biggest threat.
Yeah, and the good thing is that they're really self-destructive because they're so anti-business. And they so promoted this lockdown that it effectively destroyed their revenue model and has forced them to do massive layoffs and effectively put them on a more equal footing with YouTubers like you, Mark Dice, me, and others. Hey, it just occurred to me, you know, they got Al Capone the way they got him, not for all the killings, the St. Valentine's Day massacre, but the way they got him was for taxes. Now, wouldn't it be right. funny that if Joe Biden is selling shares in his personal crime family, that maybe the SEC can take him down for illegal stock trading? You think I'm onto something here?
Man, I wish you were in D.C. right now instead of sunny Florida. I'll tell you, I have a lot more sanity, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the question is where we go. I've said I want to take credit for this, Steve. I am the first person on the planet who predicted Trump's reelection on November 9th, 2016, only because the odds, you know, 91% or 90%,
right.
every president that runs for re-election gets re-elected, with minor exceptions we don't have to go into,
right.
into Bush and into Carter. But point is, I think we're going to have some serious social civil unrest, assuming that Trump is re-elected. And even if he's not, there's going to be social unrest. And the question is, are they going to finish burning down the rest of Minneapolis, the part that they missed the first time? Are they just going to take out the entire commercial districts of New York City, of L.A.? And what about Seattle? Will Seattle just become one big chop and Portland yeah. just go up in flames? That's what I'm really concerned about more than anything else. I think the outcome of the election now really isn't in doubt.
Right. Yeah, I think you got it. I do think in the end the left has already stated there will be blood if Trump wins. There's going to be mass civil unrest. But I think, again, that's going to just only work against him. That it's precisely in many respects what we would want. That's kind of similar with what they have in Hungary and in Poland. They seem to have this supermajority of the population that's nationalist populist that votes, you know, 65% for the right wing parties. And that may be the event that actually is the catalyst for something comparable here, at least for a season, where the vast majority of people see that the left, particularly the far left, is no longer interested in democracy. Democracy is a sham to them. Vote for them. Democracy is vote the way we want you to, or else. You know, this is ridiculous. So what you're going to look at, I think, is if there is a mass civil unrest, you're going to see a massive backlash against that at proportions perhaps we've never seen before. And that would be a fantastic advantage for Trump and the Republicans to take advantage of. It's law and order. It's democracy. It's a democratic republic versus these anarchistic thugs. And, you know, who do you want to side with? Who do you want to be a part of? So absolutely. I do think it works in our favor. I mean, God forbid it goes the other way. And as long as there's no obvious shenanigans, which I'd find hard to believe, but you know, Republicans, conservatives do what they've always done, and as we get on with our lives, you yeah. know, politics is not our religion. We are people of, you know, of ingenuity and faith and family and neighborhood and community. We have goals. We work towards them, and we move on with our lives. And we'll see you in 2 years for a massive landslide in the midterm. So, you know, we'll just get on with it. Now, if there's corruption, if there's obvious corruption, if Trump won big on Tuesday night and we begin to see the truckloads of ballots starting to come, you know, mail-in ballots in Florida and so forth. But you've got some insight into that I want to see to, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
But if we were to see something akin to that, oh my, I mean, I don't know what I'll feel the need to express myself, my outrage in some way, shape, or form, but we'll have to see there. I mean, but yeah, you were mentioning that DeSantis has done some fantastic work in minimizing that.
Yeah, we're not going to have this the fraud that we saw in the 2018 gubernatorial and senatorial elections in Florida. We're not having it because the first thing that DeSantis did, and you have to understand, the two counties are the epicenter of voter fraud, even more so than Miami-Dade. They have their shenanigans, but it's different there, is Broward County, where you have Fort Lauderdale, and Palm Beach County, where I happen to live. And the first thing that DeSantis did when he took over in 2019 is he fired the election supervisor in Palm Beach County. Her name was Butcher. You saw the fraud that was taking place with provisional ballots, with everything. And the other thing he did was he got rid of the woman who was the election supervisor in Broward County, who she was notorious. There had been lawsuits finding her corrupt, and they still managed to keep her on. He got rid of both of them, and that will make all the difference. That will be a result of that will result in thousands of less fraudulent ballots taking place. It's funny that just looking through the web, there was an editorial in the Palm Beach Post, which is just a typical liberal hack, what do you call them? Activists parading as journalists.
Yeah. Left-wing activists disguised as journalists. Yeah, that's right.
And the editorial was DeSantis's unwarranted removal of Susan Butcher. And I mean, you know, the fraud, we had like ballots galore, you know, like ballots are like electronic rabbits in this county. They just seem to multiply, especially when they're for Democrats. And he dumped them. So my guess is that is going to ensure that the state goes for Trump, assuming that all the other counties are pretty much on the level. Because these two counties are notorious. I mean, we go back to Bush, Gore, and Hanging Chads.
Yeah, Broward County, man,
Palm Beach County. And then, you know, they tried to do it in Dade County, and that's where Roger Stone caused a riot, and they stopped counting. But it was Palm Beach County where the guy with the magnifying glass, and he's looking at the thing to see if there's a Chad. I mean, it was
the
absurd.
Hanging Chad.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think Florida, the outcome is going to be what the outcome is. Whomever it goes for, I think it's going to be fairly, fairly fair, because the most populous counties are where the most fraud takes place. And now that two of them have been neutralized, I don't think it's going to matter. But we still have Pennsylvania, Michigan, and all these other fine states. But I guess we're going to know in a little less than 2 weeks, huh?
That's right. We sure are.
Yeah. So anyways, well, the social unrest, hopefully it's short-lived. Supposedly Trump said he's going to, and these are unofficial reports, he's going to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807.
Insurrection Act,
And clear out BLM, Antifa, and any other groups, and he
would have a 70% support of that, no question.
I understand why he hasn't done it now. He's got uncooperative people in his administration, like the Secretary of Defense, but you can see that he'll fire him in a New York minute.
Oh, in an instant.
Yeah,
in an instant.
He'll be gone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So anyways, so you're thinking everything's coming up Trump, huh?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver with an all-in sustaining production cost of only US $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's A-U-R-C-A-N-A.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, the early in voting, the mail-in ballots thus far have been a disaster in many respects, especially in Florida. Looking at the numbers there in Florida, they needed to be up around 600,000, as I understand it. Larry Schweikert, who I know you know very well, his analysis I just find so good because he really gets into the weeds. He'll actually report on the latest walk-in early So in-person early voting tallies. So just to give your listeners just this wonderful news from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. today, early voting day two in Florida, Republicans are just blowing out the Democrats by 10,000 votes. So the Democrats lost 10,000 on their lead just in 3 hours, and their lead is not enough. They need around 650,000 votes to overcome the tsunami of in-person voters on November 3rd. They only got just over 400,000. So they're way low. As a matter of fact, he's predicting that Republicans will win Florida by 250,000 votes, which is 150,000 more votes than in 2016. So, and then we go to Michigan. Republicans are ahead in Michigan. Their senator fellow, I'm forgetting his name offhand. He is just exploding. It looks like he's going to win.
John James.
It looks like he's going to absolutely win, no problem. Iowa will be a little closer than last time, but that looks pretty good. Arizona looks like it's basically safe. Now, last I looked, Republicans were ahead. And so right now, I'm not so much interested in polls anymore. Forget the polls. Let's look at the actual voting that's going on. And historically speaking, Democrats have always trumped, no pun intended, Republicans in the early voting. And Republicans have always come out en masse in the in-person voting. And so what the Democrats needed to do is basically double, if not triple their mail-in ballot vote total, and they just haven't been able to even come anywhere near doing that. So right. It looks like it's a flop. Biden's in his basement. It all looks pretty darn good right now for the Republicans. Same with North Carolina. That's the other thing. We don't know how people are actually voting, so we're just assuming that Republicans are voting Trump and Democrats are voting Biden. That's a big assumption on the part of Biden. Not for Trump. Trump got 94% of the primary vote. Biden didn't get anywhere near that. And the big assumption we made back at 16 is that Democrat voters were voting for Hillary. We had nearly 200 counties in Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota that voted for Democrat in every single presidential election since like 1984, 1988. All of a sudden, switch over and vote for Trump, some of them by a 20-point margin. Most conservative people in North Carolina over the age of 65 are still registered Democrats, but they don't vote Democrat anymore. So anyway, just because you're seeing Democrats up doesn't necessarily mean that they are, where we can assume that pretty much, you know, 90% plus of the Republican vote is going to go Trump. So we look in really, really good shape right now.
Hey, and like you said, 94% of the Republicans voted for Trump. They're calculating only 90% of Democrats are voting for Biden. And
wow,
you know, that could be a big difference. And we had 50 Cent come out last night.
That's right.
Because he said, I don't want to become 19 Cent after Biden's tax increase. So we better just, and he said it was a scam, right? Hey, one other thing that you often cite on your show is the most accurate person, that professor, I think, out of Stony Brook, and his poll of primary voters. Can you just refresh us on that?
Yeah, sure. So that's really my my rock that I settle on, even in the midst of all the really horrible opinion polling that we now know is basically cooked, that we saw all throughout the last couple of weeks, giving Democrats 10% vote advantages and the things like that. So Professor Helmut Norpoth of Stony Brook University has what's called the primary model. It's a forecasting, election forecasting model. It's the single most accurate model that we have on record. It's guessed correctly 25 of the last 27 elections. So that's going all the way back to 1912, the first time presidential candidates had to win primaries in order to become the official candidate of their parties. And what the algorithm basically figured out was that if you won the majority of votes in your primary, you went on to win the general election. And so what we and even the two times it got it wrong, 1960 and 2000, those were both times that the candidates had almost mutually the same or identical vote tallies coming out of their primaries. And so, you know, of course, in 60, Kennedy wins by 100,000 votes. It's pretty, a lot of shenanigans going on there. And then you have Bush winning, well, we were just talking about Broward County and the like, winning by just a few hundred votes in Florida. So even when it got it wrong, the theory still basically worked, that he who has the majority of votes in the primaries always goes on to win the general election. Opinion polls are meaningless. He does not look at opinion polls. He actually publishes his forecast, his predictions, about 8 months, 9 months before the actual election. So when everybody was talking about a Romney landslide in 2012, by February of 2012, he had published it. No, Obama will win this easily. And when everyone was talking about Hillary Clinton's, you know, landslide election, again, around March of 2016, Trump has an 87% chance of beating Hillary Clinton. And so he ran his numbers, and several months back, lo and behold, President Trump has a 91% chance of winning. We've never had a presidential candidate running for re-election, bettering his opponent in the primary vote, and go on to lose. It just simply never happened. So in a sense, it's almost written in stone. So he basically says, it's more or less a done deal. Now, there's always a 9% chance, you know, that could happen, but it's extremely, extremely remote. And so that's when I'm looking at the actual vote tallies, and that's the advantage of his model. He's not interested in opinion polls. I mean, you know this, Kerry. Sure. I mean, I'm coming to you as a shark and I'm looking for an investor in my company, I said, oh, I've got 100,000 people who said they're going to purchase my product. But yeah. I don't have a single sale yet, but they said I'm going to do it. You wouldn't waste time with me. Whereas if I came in, I said, look, I got 75,000 confirmed sales. I believe we can double it and triple it next year. Okay, now you're going to listen to what I have to say. And that's what Helmut Norpoth does. Let's forget the opinion polls. Let's look at actual elections, see if we can see how they flesh themselves out. And based on actual elections, he believes it's almost certain President Trump will win re-election in 2 weeks.
Wow. Well, that's about the best thing you can get, because it's actually based upon voters rather than, like you said, promises, because you can't take promises to the bank, and actual votes are really what counts in the end. Anyway, well, we'll be watching very closely. I have a feeling that next Tuesday, 2 weeks from now, November 3rd. It's going to be a very short night, not nearly what everybody's saying, where it's going to go on for weeks. I just don't believe that, but we will find out soon enough. Hey, Steve, just tell us where we find you. Tell us about your podcast, what's happening there, and about your video channel.
Yeah, so you can go to my website, turleytalks.com, or you can go to my YouTube channel, just Dr. Steve Turley. Just punch that and you'll find it. And then when you go to my website, you actually see a podcast button. Just click on that if you like podcasts better, and you can sign up for either, you know, Apple or iTunes or what have you. So we have our podcasts, we have videos, we have blog posts, and of course, you know, twice a day, every day, as I try to analyze current events in light of conservative trends. So.
All right. Hey, and keep producing those videos. I never miss them. If I do miss a day, then I go back and watch them from the day before. I really appreciate your work. Really appreciate you coming on. Any questions for Steve, for Dr. Steve Turley? Email us, kl@carrielutz.com. Don't forget, go to our website, sign up for a free newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Dr. Steve, good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Kerry. God bless.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.